We've got a very exciting guest on to talk to us about the impact of the state budget for women and gender diverse people. So WISE is a organization that is leading in the sector at the moment for gender equality and women's well-being across Victoria. Last week, they cautiously welcomed the state budget announcements. The CEO, Kit McMahon, has nearly 2 decades of experience across education, training, and not-for-profits, and has consistently and passionately advocated for gender equality, empowering women and girls. Kit is joining us this morning to talk through the state budget's impact on women. Welcome to Tuesday Breakfast, Kit.
Good morning, Erin. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Thanks for joining us today. This is a bit of a huge topic, so let's maybe start by telling our listeners a little bit about WISE and what you do there.
Yeah, for sure. So WISE stands for Women's Health in the Southeast. And in Victoria, we're lucky enough that we've got this infrastructure of women's health services. There's 12 of us across Victoria, been around for about 30 years. And what we do is we work in the public health system and with other social systems for equality, for better outcomes for everyone, in particular women, gender diverse people, people who face intersectional barriers. But really, the goal is to make sure that everyone benefits from a just and equal society, which we know there's a lot of work, more work to do, eh? So that's our job.
Absolutely. So from this budget, there's been 30.1 million allocated to fund primary prevention initiatives to end family violence. This is, of course, a huge issue for women and gender diverse people. And while it does sound like a bit of money, there's also an additional 622.5 million for family violence service delivery. It actually only makes up 4% of the response investment. Can you talk a bit about this? What are your thoughts on, how much has been allocated to this issue?
So the first thing is that I think the first thing to say is that budgets are, they're volumes of documents, and they typically talk about new money and a little bit about what's continuing. So if we look at this with saying, is this going to help everybody? What we know is that there's been some great investment, but it's not enough. So budget, the state's in a tight fiscal environment, we know that, but budgets are still about governments making decisions. So this government has made a decision to follow through on some of on its election commitments, which is what you'd expect from a budget straight after an election. But I guess our cautious concern is that from our perspective, there needs to be more work in prevention. All right? So we welcome the investment in the clinics, we welcome the continuing investment in family violence response. But it's never enough because we know of the great need and the increasing need that people have and women have in the community. But we also think that we need to do a lot better of understanding the benefit of health promotion and primary prevention. And this is the part of the health system that stops disease, that stops illness, that stops problems before they start. And for our money, there's not enough of that. But we're working to try to make sure that that's improved. So yeah, that's what I'd probably say in response to that, Erin.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point because, just existing as a woman in the world, it's constantly feels like the systems are playing catch up, and there's just, you're exactly right. There's not enough focus on prevention across the board.
There's some great things in this budget, right? The investment in women's clinics, specific sexual and reproductive health needs for women. We're keen to see how that lands, where it lands. But you can have the service, but people have got to know about it and they've got to get to it, and then the service has got to be available for people to also feel comfortable to come to it, right? So that's the job of organisations like us, to try to get that to happen. The second thing is, you really want people to not have to go to hospital.
Mm.
There's often talk about, you know, the hospitals are a great cost in our community. Right, let's do this. Let's do the work so that people don't have to go to hospital. And we often see sometimes a bit of confusion about what that might mean. This is not disease management. This is prevention. The other really important thing is that we need to set these systems up so that they can bring and be available to people from all walks of life. We need to say that this is more than a woman, an idea of what a woman is, but people from across the community who have different experiences of what it means to be a woman. So that might be a woman newly arrived from overseas, from war-torn countries, through to our First Nations people, through to people who might have a body of a woman, but they don't identify as one. So we've really got to make sure that these services and systems are available to everyone. And that's constant, ongoing work. And they've got to be open at a time and a place where people can access them as well, Erin.
Yeah, accessibility is a big one, especially for, you know, women who are linguistically and culturally diverse and First Nations women. And just the feeling of being able to ask for help and be able to communicate and be able to...
That's right.
Yeah.
That's just... right. Yeah. And what we know it was, because we work in some of the most linguistically and diverse communities in Australia, the very assumption that people can self-advocate, that they know how to turn up to a GP, that they know how to talk to a GP, that they know that they can go into a hospital and ask a question in those busy environments. That's a privileged assumption. You know, we work with women whose primary experience of government has been the government trying to kill them, right? So, you know, you need to bring all these different understandings to create services that are open and available for people. You know, don't put the service on between, you know, 2:30 and 4:30 on a Thursday afternoon if it's for women. It's just like, you just don't do that. You think about others in what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things you have addressed in your analysis is getting this information at a community level. Rather than making assumptions, you know, or painting everything with a broad brush, because not this, you know, it's not the same for women 100%. From different walks of life.
Yeah, 100%. And that's even more than just different languages as well. It's working with community as well.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other things that is mentioned is some funds have been directed to ease period poverty. Can you tell us what this looks like?
Yeah, this is great, and this is a really important recognition of this issue. So this is the setting up of vending machines of accessible products for women to access when they've got their period, right? And Plan International have come out and done some great research about how much it actually costs women to look after themselves because of with their periods that they, you know, that we get. So not even the cost of medicines as well, if you're in menopause, or even if you, you know, you're a teenager and you're starting your period, and that's a whole, you know, coming on of menses is something else again. So this is really good. What we need to do, and this is what Health Promotion Skill does, is wrap this around with the work. You know, basic things like getting people comfortable with walking up to a vending machine or walking up and asking for these products, because there's still stigma attached to it. And I guess we know that this is already out in schools, right? But how can we make these products available to girls in schools and in the community and women in the community in a way that they can actually get access to them? So I said stigma before, but what about in a way that makes sure that the products is already there, that the product's in a safe space, that the product is not destroyed before you get there, or that is in an environment where all communities can get access to them. So this is really good, but budgets are sort of the start of the process. Mm. Then we've got to get people understanding what the services are for, what those products are for, and get it to them.
Exactly. And that's, of course, a lot of the work that you'll be doing at WISE.
100%, yep.
One of the other things I wanted to touch on quickly is yes. mental health, which is a huge issue for women. You know, they're experiencing higher rates of depression and anxiety, eating disorders, and this has been negatively impacted by the pandemic as well. What's WISE's focus on primary prevention and health promotion for mental health?
Yeah, so just quickly, good question, great question. We want to see, as we talked about before, that the reforms that are coming through Victoria understand that gender influences the way that mental health and wellbeing is experienced. And to be honest, there's a lot of work to do there. In the region that I work in, we have, higher rates of depression, but also higher rates of presentation to hospital for suicidality with women. So the work that we're doing is trying to change the system to accommodate that and create different services that have merit for both men and for all genders, but also to actually put investment and investment for people's wellbeing. So it's not just about ill health, it's about mental wellbeing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, there's just so much we could talk about in this
Absolutely.
Budget. But I think that, you know, you have touched on this throughout, but as a final note, you know, what are the ways in which WISE will be sort of continuing to advocate for women and gender diverse people, especially marginalized people in the community?
Absolutely. So it's bringing those marginalized stories to the center. So when we go and we talk into, you know, the people that run our health system or the people who run that community health, we are centering those stories. We are bringing the evidence in a gender disaggregated way to show the different experience, the different lived experience. And it's also equipping community, so going working with women in community to teach them how to work with the system and advocating for them with that system. And putting the investment in well-being and putting the time into people being well so that we can reduce the chance of getting sick.
Amazing. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this morning, Kit.
No, Erin, thank you.
No, thank you so much. And we'd love to have you back, you know, maybe in a few months to see how all of this is progressing
love to.
As well.
Love to, Erin.